Welcome. This is Why Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles McFlower. We're a little tardy tonight, a little late, because there were phone problems. A line on the other side, from where I am anyway, wasn't working too good, and they had to switch us around. But at any rate, here we are, and it's great to be with you this evening. I thought tonight we'd deal with one of those more far-out subjects. Generally speaking, I don't deal with too much with this on this show, simply because there are a lot of other programs that have sometimes a even more extreme viewpoint on some of the things I'm going to be talking about tonight than what I'm going to talk about, and I think it's maybe better to let them do that. But tonight I thought it would be appropriate to talk about the plan for Earth with alien visitors. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, like every 5 minutes is an alien popping in and abducting somebody. That isn't what this show is going to be about at any rate. I am talking, though, about the idea that Earth has been visited from time to time, and it is still being visited from time to time, by people who are not indigenous to our planet. They live elsewhere, and they're coming from elsewhere. Now, I'm going to explain how and why that is the case. And, of course, if you want, you can call in and give your own thoughts about this. I would want to caution anybody, though, that really, if you want to talk about at length what's going on in other planets and what those people's intentions are, and et cetera, this is probably not the place to be talking about that. Simply from the standpoint that I'm introducing this topic tonight in the general construct of a spiritual and a metaphysical and a creator kind of concept, rather than talking about it from either malevolent beings coming and doing terrible things, or maybe just more from a science fiction side. And so many people would consider any alien visitors science fiction, so I certainly accept that as a possibility. I'm not trying to censure anyone who has that viewpoint, even if they want to call in and talk about it. It's just that this is a subject that can invite some very strange thoughts, we'll say. Not to say that they may not be true, just very strange. Okay, so let me begin with some ideas, some concepts that I've written about in the past, both in articles and, of course, in books. And I think it's important to realize at this point that the planet we're on, Earth, is an experiment. It's not like the typical planets that may, in you know, throughout the universe, which, you know, there's millions of planets like Earth. But the point is, there aren't any planets necessarily like Earth that have the plan that Earth has. Or if there are, there are very, very few. The point is that Earth has a unique part to play in the present time and the last thousands of years of time, and even much earlier than that humans have been around in recorded history and in pre-recorded history. We could go back millions of years. And so the plan of Earth is basically, in part, to attempt to accelerate the development of people on Earth, that's us, and to do so for the purpose of overcoming a kind of evil that a planet that was akin to Earth and in some ways karmically related to Earth failed due to this kind of evil developing on that other planet. And Earth now, as like a reincarnation of the whole planet, is attempting to overcome that kind of darkness and evil, not for its own sake, but also for the benefit of many, many, many other planets and the whole universe, because this type of evil is not that well developed yet in the universe and is a much worse kind than has been around in the past. This kind of evil is a more mental kind of evil. It involves things like lying as propaganda and attempting to convince people that through their thought processes they should follow a path of evil. It's definitely anti-God and anti-creator. And you know that many times on this show, I bring up things talking about evil or things that are against God or whatever. And when I do talk about that, I'm referring to this overall plan so we can kind of define from what I've done in the past a little bit of what I'm going to talk about in tonight's show. Now, the plan for this planet, which, again, is a great plan. It isn't a terrible one. Unfortunately means that the souls who came here have put themselves into a very nasty place. Unfortunate from the standpoint that they're going to have to, at least their incarnations will have to suffer. And these, I should say incarnates, actually, the people who come from these souls as human beings, will tend to suffer more than most humans will in any other planet because this type of evil is so hard to overcome. It's nearly invisible, unlike the more astral forms and physical forms of evil. And it has the ability to mimic goodness, and it tends to pretend to be good much better than the other types of evil that have spread somewhat through the universe in multiple galaxies, in some cases through one or two whole galaxies. Now, Earth is, like all planets that are in its stage of development, is relatively isolated, deliberately. Its position in our galaxy, some of the conditions under which life grows, and many other factors lead it to the point where any life that might come here, that's intelligent life, from another world, would only do so with great difficulty and usually not have an easy time even finding Earth. So we're kind of, there's an attempt, you might say, to keep Earth isolated. And the reason for that is that there are malevolent sources that would like to stop this experiment, of course. So if they could, they would come here and try to stop this from happening. For the most part, that can't happen. So mostly there's only benevolent sources of outside contact that would have anything to do with Earth. And even then, those outside contactors generally relegate themselves to visiting superhuman beings that are used to be humans on Earth at some point, as most of them were, and that their interactions with humans is kept to a bare minimum. There's a reason for this, and I'm going to go over some of the elements of that. And this was not always the case. So it's important to realize that what I'm saying, anything about today, we will go back in time, and in history and prehistory, we'll talk about things that may be quite contradictory to what I initially am saying. So Earth is in this grand experiment, and the souls that came here to have incarnates in the physical, then astral, and lower mental worlds, dying from each and going on to live in the next, etc., until they go back in consciousness to the position of being a soul and then start the whole thing over again soon after. But this process that is taking place is being done not to punish anyone. In other words, there's no retribution taking place on Earth. I know some people think that, but that's not my understanding. And again, anything I say is my understanding, and it may not necessarily be yours or someone else's. Okay, so the folks that are here, including you and myself and whoever else may be listening, and many other people, of course, we are here with the purpose to learn how to recognize this kind of evil I'm discussing with you, which I'll go into greater detail about, and how to fight against it and convert it into, we'll say convert or destroy in some cases, the evil from being able to further harm the planet and other places as well. We are here because we want to do this. Now, some of you might say, yeah, I didn't sign up for this. I want out. So if I wanted to do it, then I'd change my mind. Well, yes, in your illusion state as a human in physical form, when where you're most illusioned by far, it's easy to come to that conclusion because life is a pain, it's great suffering, it's miserable and relatively short. And unfortunately, it doesn't oftentimes clearly define itself as a meaningful existence. Although if you read Life's Hidden Meaning, that book is specifically written to address the subject. But nonetheless, for most people, they're not going to read that book. So a lot of people will tell you that life is either meaningless, being something of existentialists and non, religious types. And if they're really, really strongly into the, we'll say, denouncement of meaning in existence, then they may be totally anti-God, anti-creation, and believe that the universe is a random set of circumstances with no meaning to it outside of what you choose to project into it through your own minutia of existence within it. Of course, that's the exact opposite of what I find to be true. Each person is massively important. No matter whether they're good, bad, or indifferent, each person, each soul, tremendous importance. Each soul is a part of God, part of life. There is nothing more important, to me at least, than meaning in life. And there's tremendous amounts of it, but unfortunately, there's an inverse proportion between the amount you're willing to fight against evil and the amount of meaning you may find in your life. Consequently, a lot of people aren't really willing to see or fight or do anything against evil. A lot of people just want to be left alone and thank you very much, I'll just live my life as easily as I can. And those people find very little meaning in life. Even if they believe in a creator and God, it's difficult for them to find meaning because they also are plagued by fear. Now, why do I say that? Well, if you're not willing to see and fight against evil, it's because you are afraid of it, but you are subconsciously afraid of it. And that's what's driving your life. You may have not even think about it. You may have no recollection of ever having thought of it. And that's just a sign of what I'm talking about. This is a difficult subject for most people to buy into, but for those of you a little bit past the point of being completely asleep about it, you may recognize the truth to the statements I'm making. All right, so this is a complicated thing because obviously the plan for Earth was to do something great for all of humanity here and for all of the rest of the universe. It mostly affects humanity because, as you know from previous shows, if you listened, evil is a part of the human development. It doesn't really exist except as humans created into lower kingdoms. And it doesn't exist in higher kingdoms. So it only is part of our own kingdom, the humans, that have evil as the basis. And it comes about because of our being on a cross, some people sometimes say, being in a position of contradiction about our own creator and fighting with ourselves every day sometimes about whether there's a God, there's not a God, whether there's good, whether there's evil, whether there's this or that. These constant conflicts in the basic premise of existence lead us into all the suffering that we eventually make for ourselves. And it allows evil to exist. So it comes from our illusions and doubts and then grows from there. It is particular and particularly formidable in the physical world where we are right now. It's less so in the astral world, although there's parts of that that are pretty evil. And it is even less so in the monastic, the lower monastic world, where humans finish their existence as just a human being. But the point I'm making here is that where we are right now is where we are going to have the most difficulty even understanding the plan for Earth, as I'm going to try to describe it, and how alien visitors fit in with this. Now, some of you are saying, yeah, I read it already. I know all about it. I read Chapter 9, and in there you... Okay, great. If you did, then this will be somewhat a little bit of a refresher, but there will be a lot of things I'm going to say that I haven't necessarily discussed, even in writing before. Sometimes it's not good to write things. Like, I originally wrote most of the stuff that's in Life and Meaning in 93. I know it was published in 99, but it just took a long time to get it done. But the point is that the subject matter is nearly 20 years old. And at the time that I was teaching and writing that material, there were a lot of things that had not yet even become close to being discovered. Even the question that there might be have been life on Mars, although I wrote about that, hadn't been discovered yet. And there were other things, too. So it was a kind of, it was a time when the more you would say some of the things I'm going to say in tonight's show, the more it was that you were a kook and people would probably tune you out. So not to say that people still don't think that of me, but regardless, there's less of that, I would say, in discussing this subject today than 20 years ago. And that's a good thing, I think, because we're a little more open-minded. One of the things that I think is most interesting is there's a fairly popular and well-watched program on the History Channel that is referred to as ancient alien astronauts, you know, the visiting the Earth. I think the name of the show is Ancient Alien Astronauts. And whether or not they were truly astronauts is an interesting point, but nonetheless, the concept is there. And they bring up a lot of things that are basically true. I've watched the show a number of times. My conclusion is that like 80-85% of the things they bring up, I find to be completely consistent with what my understandings are. Yeah, there's maybe 15-20%. That's a little stretch, you know. But that's okay because they're trying to connect as many dots as possible. Sometimes if you try to be as inclusive as possible, you're going to put something in that isn't quite correct, but that's okay. And that's if I'm right and they're not. Who knows? Okay. So, with the plan being that Earth was supposed to, and so is, hopefully today, going to overcome this kind of karmic evil that both it had and that it wants to overcome for the benefit of all others, other planets, it was necessary to accelerate what would normally be considered evolution. Evolution is used by God. I mean, this idea that evolution is anti-God is not anti-God. It's just that you got to understand that evolution alone doesn't work without there being more spiritual understandings and other things taking place that are deliberated through the thought of a great being, not through some random process. See, that's the issue. Randomness makes evolution go much slower than it has on Earth. I mean a lot slower, particularly when it comes to human beings. You should be aware that there's been a number of, we'll say, experiments, not experiments in a physical sense, but experiments in a statistical sense, that show that if you wanted to develop human beings as quickly as they developed on Earth, you might need another 10 or 20 million years to achieve the results that we have so far accomplished. I'm talking about evolutionary results, not technology. And that's a problem. You could be off half billion or a million years and maybe say that's some kind of computational problem. That's probably some kind of problem in not understanding this or that. But when you get up into a 10 million or more year problem, that's a real issue, and someone should be really questioning the efficacy of there being a purely evolutionary model, structural, mechanical, with no God, no creator, etc. Because it just mathematically doesn't work, and I kind of like math, to tell you. because math deals so much with higher mental function and truth. And so if you want to prove some things, math is not too bad of a way sometimes to do it, at least in terms of what we call mental truth. So it's certainly a worthwhile model to check out. Well, evolution doesn't check out when it comes to humans. So we should all be running around, probably, if there was anything to what I just said, still being apes. And it would have been at least until today or later, maybe a million years from now, before humans would be anywhere near who we are. That doesn't quite fit, and it kind of makes everything seem like it's stilted and confused. Now, how does this fact fit in with the plan for Earth with alien visitors? Well, for those of you who have watched the History Channel, you might already be jumping up and down. Hey, I got the answer. I watched it last month, you know. And that is that people who are more superhuman than humans, came to Earth a long, long time ago. We're talking like millions of years ago. And through their technology and understandings of the time, and using actually some of their own DNA, accelerated and modified what would normally be considered to be an evolutionary process. They did this not because they were mining gold here, although they may have done a small amount of that, or some other, we'll say, proletariat kind of selfish business material reason. It's because they needed to accelerate the development of humans so that we could find God faster, because humans are able to recognize and help co-create with God, whereas animals can't. And the human soul could not become part of the process, couldn't individually ensoul an animal unless it was advanced in a number of ways that have to do with the senses of spirit or spiritual senses. And all of this was required to accelerate the development of humans. Okay. So you see that this is not some kind of, oh, let's go to Earth and play around with the dummies and enslave them and do terrible things kind of thing. That is one of the theories out there. That's not to say that didn't happen, actually, but it happened in a totally different way than what is proposed. And the super beings that came to Earth, we'll call them masters from other worlds, that came to Earth, were able to take physical form, look relatively human, and resemble us as we are today more than the inhabitants of the period of time I'm talking about, which is like we're going back 20 million years or more ago. When they first came here, they came here with an experimental purpose. Some of them came from the higher worlds of Venus. Now, Venus is a physical planet. A lot of people get that confused. Venus is a physical planet, has had no life on it whatsoever for hundreds of millions of years. And when it did, the life that was developed there didn't become really human life. Humans evolved on Venus in the etheric, the astral, and the mental worlds. That's because it's a different kind of planet than Earth. It's not fully a physical planet, as we understand. There were humans at one point that, for periods of time, 100 million years ago or longer, were able to live on the surface of Venus. But that's a totally different issue. And they were already very far advanced from where we were talking about 20 million years ago. Now, these people visited Earth along with people from other star systems. So we got the people coming from a planet that's close by Venus. And it's our closest neighboring planet. And at that time, Venus is not inhabitable by any kind of life form. It was just as miserable as it is today. Hundreds of degrees, almost 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit in temperature, atmosphere pressure so incredibly dense it just crush you instantly, and that kind of thing, and sulfuric acid running around and other stuff. Hey, a terrible place. Okay, but they came from the parts of Venus that are in other dimensions. We call them extra-dimensional space, and that includes Venus's etheric, astral, and mental worlds, just like Earth has that. Different from Earth, though, because it is the specific part of Venus rather than of Earth. Okay. So they came here, and they came here with the help from some folks from a star system called a number of stars, a constellation called the Pleiades, and a couple of others as well. And they came here to experiment to see if humans could be derived from the present animals that existed by some genetic engineering of the physical animals, and then seeing if the human soul could insert its spiritual thought and consciousness into this animal creature. It started about 22 and a half million years ago, and it didn't work at all. And at sometimes there was one constellation helping, and at another time another. Now, these beings didn't come here as we would think of them in a physical spaceship, the ones from these other places, because they were moving through dimensional space that is completely different from the physical. And so they didn't need the physical space, and they could travel at speeds that are hard for us to understand because they're, hundreds to 1,000 times faster than the speed of light, or beyond 1,000 times in some circumstances. That's the higher parts of the mental world, actually. So they're able to transverse time and space very quickly by our standards in terms of time and get here without using the kind of devices that we think of in terms of astronauts traveling through space. It's hard to even say they traveled through space. It's easier to say that they skipped through time. But that's a whole other physics program. So, at any rate, they came here at different times. And the first that I'm aware of is about 22 and a half million years ago. And they checked out Earth, and they didn't think they were going to get very far, but they did try to modify the genetic structure of some ape-like animals, something in that category. These animals did not and could not accept the human soul's consciousness impressed into them, which we call incarnation, and they could not accept the development of a personality. They had to continue to be connected to their group soul and not give up their instincts to survive, because they were not advanced enough. And when it was forced upon them to give up that position, they died out very quickly, like within hours or days. So that just didn't work. And I think as many as 100 were tried back in those days, a long, long time ago. And it just failed. So, okay, I said, well, we'll wait another 4 or 5 million years and come back and see what we can do. They also left these animals, they evolved these animals in general a bit faster to accelerate the development of an animal that would be more appropriate to attempt this experiment about like 18 million years ago or so. When they tried that, more success, but also failure. And not enough stability in the animals for them to stay alive much more than a few weeks to a month or so. And that was not good. Obviously, you're not going to get anywhere with that. So, we now come to about 16 and a half million years ago. And this experiment now is attempted purely on the etheric level, by the way. The physical results were really never completed in a true sense earlier than this, because the attempt was kept more to etheric level, so it wouldn't necessarily destroy populations of animals and intermix too badly with them. They did make some changes that did have an effect on the physical animals themselves, but which continued to increase the level of evolution, but it didn't create a great havoc in terms of the physical nature of large numbers of the animals later on, which is good. It was a safety valve, you might say. But about 16.5 million years ago, they actually got some success on these beings who were mostly etheric. Did they have any physical existence? Eventually, some of them became physical, but they were still enormous etheric bodies with little, relatively smaller physical bodies. And the physical bodies were more controlled by the etheric than the physical. It's very opposite of the way we are. But nonetheless, they started to have some success in the human soul being able to be in contact with these beings, which we'll call the first human beings, and with humans having some contact with their physical soul, human soul. However, we would not say that these were truly human beings because they were so etheric in comparison to their physical. And it was very difficult for them to function in a purely physical sense while physically alive. Nonetheless, they continued to improve rapidly, more rapidly than we would have guessed. And by 8.5 million years ago, we had beings that were almost the same as we are in terms of their etheric and their physical bodies, meaning that we could actually find them. We couldn't find the ones that were twice as old as them because they were so etheric that their bodies would not preserve the way that we think of normal physical bodies preserving. And so the results are that if we go back in time, we're now finding for the first time certain types of species. They don't make any sense to us. They go back to 7, 8, 8.5 million years ago. And this is surprising because everybody said there weren't any humans, but these creatures seem more human-like than some of their ancestors and some of their offspring, or if you think of them as offspring, who came much later. As far as we're concerned, we call them offspring. They're not really. But the point is the ones we see later, that like from 2, 3, 4 million years ago, are actually more primitive in some ways than the ones we find from 5, 6, 7 up to 8 million years ago. But that doesn't make any sense. That's like against evolution, right? But there's a reason for that, and we'll get to that point. All right, so here we've got this plan that's going on for Earth, and we're trying to accelerate by 10 million years or more the development of humanity. And so there's direct interference, but it's not interference that is taking place because these alien visitors just have the hankering to mess with Earth. No, it's part of a plan that is created by beings much more advanced than human beings who have a spiritual awareness of their own creator and are doing this in concert with what they understand to be the creator's desires and wishes as far as its own growth, and how humanity fits in with it, and how to deal with the problems of evil. So it's completely reasonable. And it shouldn't be looked at as some kind of terrible thing that was done to hurt humanity. No. Now, these alien visitors, once they got a viable human being that was able to be in a way humans are supposed to be, which is to understand their own creator to some extent, to find a belief in God, etc. These then were helped. Now you can say, well, how were they helped? Well, they're helped in a number of ways. Sometimes it worked and sometimes it worked against the overall plan. The desire was to get us to the point where we had to deal with all the issues of physical life, which included the use of technology and the advancement of all kinds of material form, while humans were using the lower kingdoms to build their civilization. It's okay, it's what we're supposed to do. But this was the problem. The theory, at least, was okay, if we can advance them by through, we'll call it advanced DNA tactics methods, why can't we then just help them out with some technological gifts, so to speak, and show them how to make this or that material thing and to advance more quickly in technology? That was a little bit, we'll say, overly optimistic. It seems that one of the things that our alien visitors had forgotten from their own past, probably because it was so long ago, is that you can't just give people technology that isn't equaled by consciousness, which is love and givingness. And when you do, it can make them more material and less spiritual and actually promote evil. Now, it isn't that they didn't understand this. These were great beings and still are, greater today than they were then. But some of them were not necessarily as understanding of the material principles that I just suggested because they didn't come from material worlds, Venus being one. It appears from what's been written about this and from other sources that I can't quote right now, that the big problem was from our closest sister planet. That was Venus. The people that came from the other star systems kind of cautioned the folks coming from Venus, that some of these were great beings beyond human, that, you know, you guys never really went through a very well-developed physical stage, mostly etheric and then astral and mental, and you're very mentally attuned. But your lack of expertise and understanding of what humans have to go through in living in the physical world has not prepared you to make the right decisions in terms of how to manage the question of giving helpful information and maybe even how to develop in technology certain things as inventions to humans. Because when you give it to them and they are so far behind you in consciousness, they may not use it in a way that is beneficial for anybody except for the evil folks. Plus, you're dealing on a planet with evil that is profound in comparison to the way Venus ever was, much worse. So they didn't really have a grasp of that whole idea either. And evil hadn't really represented itself yet in human form. So it was, you know, you couldn't see it because humans are the mirror of evil. And if there aren't enough humans, you really don't know it's there, so to speak. And this was a bit of a problem. So it appears that the folks from Venus, the master type of beings from Venus, were most responsible for the greatest number of mistakes and sometimes refused to listen to those who came from other realms, other star systems, far away, other constellations, and possibly because they may have been a little egocentric and believe that they knew more about the solar system than anybody else, so I don't need your help, right? Thank you very much, kind of thing. Or maybe that wasn't their attitude, but maybe they just weren't getting consistent enough information to understand what was being told to them, because after all, besides themselves, it was more or less a joint hodgepodge process in which beings would come and go from different constellations of totally different kinds of worlds that they came from. That can kind of mess things up. Okay. So, what happened? Well, I think we can kind of figure that one out. We didn't move in the right direction for what was in the plan. The plan was not executed. It was well thought of, but not executed in ways that were consistent with its desired outcome. And that's a bad thing. So that was... it is a problem. And I'm going to go on with this. So I'll try to explain the rest of it and some of the more detailed issues about how the plan and alien visitors worked out. But I want you to realize that I'm not condemning anybody, including some Venusian people who may have not done as well a good a job. I mean, these were still super beings. and more advanced than we are today. That doesn't mean they were a lot more advanced than we are today, because it was still a long time ago. But they were still more advanced than we are. But we could certainly have made these mistakes ourselves. Well, we'll come back in about 2 minutes and 30 seconds, give or take, and we'll talk a lot more about this, and I'll tell you a lot more interesting things. So we'll be back from right now, about 2.5 minutes.
Hun, what book are you reading?
It's a novel, kind of, about romance, love, and spiritual life in general.
Kind of a novel? What do you mean?
Well, it's based on some real-life experiences and even real characters. Some of their experiences are fascinating and remarkable. I can't put this book down.
How come the title is Afterlife Love?
That's part of the fascination. This book describes the afterlife in intricate detail and even explains why things are the way they're explained.
But how can anyone write about or know that?
Some of the characters travel out of body to some places that people who've already died also go to. I'm finding it completely believable because it all makes sense and fits into a bigger picture for me.
Hun, what happens to these people?
You can read it for yourself when I'm done if you want.
Better yet, I'll get my own copy so we can discuss it while we read. Let me see. I'll write down the title. It's Afterlife Love by Niles McFlower. MacFlower.
Afterlife Love is available in some bookstores and from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com or 480-966-3132. That's 480-966-3132.
Hi, everyone. Since childhood, I've had questions about my life and life in general that I couldn't find adequate answers to. Questions like, why am I here? Why are others here? Does the universe have a purpose? And how does that relate to my life? More recently, I've been wondering what happens when we die, especially the reasons why. I'm more of a doubter than a believer in many things, and answers that include the whys allow me to think and figure out the truth for myself. I've been reading a book, Life's Hidden Meaning. This one book contains more answers, including the whys, than all other sources I've read or heard. It's amazing to me that every one of my questions has been thoroughly answered. More importantly, I have found that all of these answers so far have checked out to be true. I hope this message helps some of you in your quest for a better understanding. The name of this wonderful book is, again, Life's Hidden Meaning by metaphysician Niles McFlower. Some bookstores sell it. I got my copy directly from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com. Life's Hidden Meaning may enlighten your mind and bring some peace and joy to your heart.
We're back. This is Why Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles McFlower. Tonight we're talking about the plan for Earth with alien visitors, one of those more far-out subjects, again focusing more on the spiritual and God issues than on some of the, we'll say, more negative, hostile, and dark sides of this subject of aliens, at least. Okay, so let me regain the subject or begin the subject from where we last left off, and that is that we had some problems introduced into the early development of human beings coming from misunderstandings about introducing knowledge and educating people with the knowledge, especially in regards to materiality and technology, to people who are not yet very well developed in consciousness. And this started millions of years ago, probably 7 to 8 million years ago, is where it started to manifest itself as being somewhat of a difficulty. But it still took millions of years before it became a real serious problem. So you could say, okay, well, then it's all the Venusians' problem. They did it, or someone from the Pleiades or whatever. Not exactly, because we need to also examine that there was another player, a series of players, into this process. What these super beings did. They didn't just come here and run the show. As a matter of fact, they tried to be as hands-off as possible, and instead they took those who were most developed in consciousness in the population of humans that were indigenous to Earth as their students and tried to help these folks to become even more conscious, and it was they who they taught all of this information to. They usually did not teach it directly to the large masses of humanity, larger masses of humanity that existed at the time. And sometimes they cautioned these students to not let the information out. But unfortunately, they weren't as emphatic about that, and they weren't as wise as they needed to be in recognizing that the students themselves had nowhere near the level of consciousness to really be wise enough to not say anything or do anything with this knowledge that was given to them. So in other words, the better part of it would have been to not teach them at all in the first place until they were much more advanced. But they thought they could trust that these students had the wisdom, but they didn't. Partly because, again, it's sort of like you end up with the teacher not being wise enough and then the students having the same problem but 10 times worse. And it kind of spreads like an infection. And this took place. First with the first set of humans that were, first some people call them race of humans, called the Lemurians, that were in physical form. There were humans before Lemurians, but they never even got close to any physicality. They were only in existence as spiritual projections from their individual souls that were able to create a human. There were only a few of those at any particular time, relatively few, I should say. And they created races of people that lived around the poles and around oceans, away from any other creatures because they really couldn't interact. And they only barely gained any kind of consciousness of the physical world because they were not, didn't have any physical body. So the interesting thing about this is that these, and they were left alone. They were never taught by anybody anything. But once you introduce outside sources, you take a risk. And the outside sources in this case came from other worlds. And then it came from teaching the smartest, but not necessarily the wisest, of the humans things that were dangerous for them and for those that they came in contact with. So the very first were the Lemurians, and eventually, because of the adoption of a number of these technologies started to allow some people to gain power and control over others, by the time you get to the end of the Lemurian race, evil is starting to take form. As a matter of fact, the seventh sub-race, the last of the Lemurian sub-races, predominantly developed evil tendencies. And that's because, again, this problem sort of caught up. And it happens progressively. Every time you have a new race of people, generally, if they're going to go evil, it gets worse and worse until the last parts of that race, the last sub-race, is oftentimes the most evil, and that's how it's been on Earth. Now, unfortunately, this really screwed up the plan. I mean, here we're going to be 10 million years ahead, and as we stand today, things would be almost exactly where we are today, almost within a million years, if there had been no acceleration at all in the development of humans. So let's say we hadn't touched Earth. There weren't any visitors coming from Venus or the Pleiades, a bear, whatever. Didn't matter. There weren't any of those coming to us. It was just us doing what we do. We would only be as it is today, a million years behind where we are at this moment. if nobody did anything. Of course, a million years is a lot of time, and I'm not saying it wasn't worth it necessarily, but 9 million years or more of this plan didn't work. 90%, you might call it, failure. Not too good, and that's the reason we are where we are today, because this plan has 90% failed, but not 100%, and we're still kicking. So we've got a chance to kind of recover. Even a million years counts, so we'll do what we can. But it doesn't sometimes look all that great from my perspective, I can tell you. But nonetheless, there is still the encouragement to keep trying and the hope that we can keep this million years that we're ahead before we destroy ourselves and or the whole world we're on. Because that's the outcome if things really go tippity worse. Okay, so now let's look at what these alien visitors on a more intimate scale, what they were doing besides the conceptual idea of what I've tried to describe to you already. And it is that they really sought to improve the lives of human beings to the point where instead of living hand to mouth and suffering through the tremendous deprivation that can occur in living in a very hostile environment, which Earth is not unhostile, it's quite hostile at times, they were seeking to relieve some of these pressures. Definitely not an evil desire. They were trying to be of help. And they wanted us to do the same with others. That was their hope, that we would follow in this vein. So that was their plan. It didn't work, but that was their plan. Okay, it didn't work all the time. There was a golden age. Actually, even the Lemurians had kind of a golden age. Strangely, just the sub-race before the seventh was really going in the right direction, it seemed like. But again, just as things were getting going good during the sixth subrace of Lemurians, some of these more ambitious Venusians said, well, good, now we can give them even more technology. And we can really, really make the material world a nicer place for them. And that's kind of turned things in the wrong direction. Sometimes you just got to let things be. It's not an easy thing if you're a teacher. It may be harder than being a student to accomplish. Okay, so the that first group of Lemurians really were going good. The sixth subrace looked like it had all the right things going for it. It was very spiritual. And then right down the tubes. So the next race, which are the Eleontians, who, by the way, ended up killing most of the seventh subrace Lemurians because they were so evil. And much bigger than they were, but they managed through wits and, we'll say, better thinking to be able to defeat them. I think the important thing here is to be looking at this process as one in which, again, goodwill, good intentions, but bad execution produced overall not the greatest results. And the aliens back in those days were seeking as much as they could to bring God into the picture. So I'm talking about technology, but the real force of what they were doing, particularly like with the sixth subrace of Lemurians, was to make these people highly dedicated to these spiritual pursuits and to recognizing that there was and is a creator and that they can co-create with this creator, making their life infinitely more meaningful. And so these are great things, going back in time, tremendously great things. And they were successful for long periods of time, like as much as hundreds of thousands of years, which is a long time. And if you think about how long modern humans have been here, that's fantastic. It's just that it didn't last. So here, you know, it's sort of like fits and starts, you know, where you get going, but then suddenly crash and burn and start over again, more or less. And that's kind of what was going on with human beings. The Atlanteans were visited by not only the dominated not only by Venusians, but by several other constellation and star system peoples, sometimes almost intimately and directly, and sometimes in more distant ways. They were more understanding of the process and the plan. And this is what the Atlanteans had going for them. Their minds worked much better. Their astral senses worked much better. And so they were able to gain a clearer understanding of God and spirit and what these beings are trying to teach them. And for a while, it was looking really, really, really good. Now, the problems that they had, first of all, they were interfered with by the remaining Lemurians for millions of years and had a lot of trouble with them. And eventually had to end up, as I said, killing a lot of them until they nearly wiped out all Lemurians, or some, a few were actually became part of their civilization, but most were unfortunately killed in the process. Now, when you kill somebody in a prior race, it doesn't mean they're gone. They come back as members of the new race. So that always causes some antagonism and problems in the new race. So there's no such thing as, we're going to get rid of them by just killing them. Wars only lead to more complicated futures and difficult ones. So finally, the folks that came from some of the most advanced constellations, not the Venusians, were actually instrumental in convincing everyone to get on the same page, including the Venusian folks who were coming from, again, the mental world. They are not from the physical planet. And convinced them that they really needed, if they were going to have any contact with humans, which is what their intention was in coming here, that they had to be much wiser, and they had to be very careful about dealing with students, and that knowledge had to be considered sacred, and sometimes had to be mystified and prevented from being understood. And so it was a lot of corrective things were done. And within a short time, the fourth subrace of Atlanteans became amazingly advanced. I mean, their consciousness grew from one generation to the next in ways that we have never yet seen again on Earth. And so it was a remarkably good part of the plan for Earth to get us back on track. And there was even thought that we might actually catch up with all the millions of years that had been lost up to that point. And this was a couple million years ago. And by about 1.5 to 1 million years ago, these people reached the peak, sort of like a golden age, in which they were doing amazingly well. Unfortunately, the folks that came from the farthest out constellations, and were the most advanced, by the way, decided that things were going so well, it was time for them to go. Well, you know, sometimes you just can't let somebody else mind the store, no matter how much you would like that to happen. But again, we've got to be on our own to grow at a maximum growth. So they were calculating what was the best thing we could do, and eventually they left. And right after they left, things really kind of stumbled. Humans had such a proclivity towards, we were just entering the fifth subrace of the Atlanteans. Humans had such a proclivity for quickly learning things at that point. Some of them were as brilliant as many brilliant people are today in some respects. Maybe not quite as good at some of the most advanced kind of mental thinking, but many were quite good at some levels of high mental thinking, as well as amazingly well integrated astral bodies, which gave them a keen sense of empathy and, for a lot of them, super empathy, making them true spiritually disciple-type people. But that's great. The only problem is that this mental side because they were still the fifth sub-race and not the fifth race itself, this kind of fooled the remaining helpers, the remaining masters from other worlds, into believing that they were more capable of mental wisdom, mental thinking, and higher concepts than they really were. They got fooled. And so they made a terrible mistake, and that is that they... Now, these are the visitors. And these visitors decided, well, we'll go ahead. We're going to go ahead and teach them really advanced things dealing with how physics works and the universe works and things about other dimensions of time and space, way beyond physics of today in here on Earth, other than the stuff I may teach and others. And so the point is that this led to, moving too fast and not showing the kind of wisdom of those who had left and were off and gone into another part of our galaxy. And so this now really opened the door to evil. Because when you climb to higher levels, when you fall, it's much worse. And these spiritually disciplined people developed a high level of egotism, which became arrogance after a while. And they started to mistreat people who weren't as educated and or intelligent as they were. This became a real problem. And it got quite out of hand. So much out of hand that the first invasion of truly evil aliens was possible. Now you might say, I thought you said that there aren't any bad aliens coming in the world doing bad things. I said, when we go back in time, I'm going to have to kind of contradict myself a little bit. Yeah, in general, that's a true statement, because I can't even find this world. But if there's enough evil on Earth, evil works through a different means than light does. Works with darkness is the kind of best way to describe it. And it finds a planet like Earth and is able to start making changes on Earth by the number of evil people who are connected to it. And evil is in another galaxy entirely at its center. It's all throughout the universe, but its center is in another galaxy very far away. And it can get here virtually instantly by connecting to the thought of relatively evil people here. And there really hadn't been very many people like that on Earth until this, about a million years ago, a little later than a million years ago, maybe like 950,000, 900,000 years ago, started having a lot more people turn evil, turning away from God, thinking that they knew better and they were smarter than any guy could be, etc. This terrible arrogance. And they were mistreating people and stealing and doing terrible things from others. So all this came together then as an invitation for visitation from seriously dark worlds quite a distance from here. And they can't get here very easily. But some of these worlds have developed enough technology to jump from one star system to another and to become attracted to a place like Earth if it gets dark enough. And actually, they did come here. Now, they didn't destroy the planet, but they did do some things that were terrible when they got here. And some of those things was that they encouraged humans to become more evil. They enslaved some humans. And they occasionally helped humans who were trying to kill and enslave others they joined in the fight and used terrible methods to kill people, etc. So some of this did go on infrequently because there were still more, we'll call them masters of light to get rid of these dark masters, and they could drive them away usually. And they had even more technologically advanced ways of doing that, and they also could travel interdimensionally, which was not possible, really, for most of these Dark Masters to do. They could only deal with the etheric and the physical world. They couldn't deal with higher parts of the astral and mental worlds. So they were at a great disadvantage. And most of the time they were defeated, but not before they did some terrible things and encouraged a lot more spread of evil. So that very quickly, this fifth sub-race turned darker and darker and darker. And by the time the sixth sub-race came along, like 400,000 or 500,000 years ago, things are really messed up and terrible. And that next race then be turned into a real no-good race. And even worse came the seventh sub-race, like 75,000 years ago and closer. And these folks were just really bad dudes. Really, really bad dudes. And by the end of that race, which was 11,000 plus years ago, by the end of that race, one out of four people were objectively evil. A terrible, terrible situation. And that's what really set the plan back for Earth. That really screwed things up. Okay, we're going to come back to this subject in a few minutes. I'll give you a little break here. I just want to make a mention of a few announcements, a few things that I thought you might want to know about. And I just want to tell you that, you know, next week, I finally got all the information correct about this. Next week, I'm going to be talking over at Healthy Habit Health Foods, HHH, Healthy Habit Health Foods, say it three times fast, over at 6029 North 7th Street, 7th Street in Phoenix. And if you want to know more, you can call them at 602-252-6090. Or wait, 6,000, excuse me. I don't know where I get the 9 from. There was a shadow on it on my desk. 252-6000-602. That's in Phoenix, and it's going to be on Saturday, a week from tomorrow, April 23rd at 1:30 p.m. I'm going to be talking about natural health. How do you stay healthy naturally? It's a free workshop. You don't have to pay anything for it. That's right. I said the word free. And you don't want to miss it because I'm not going to be doing another one for a while because we are very, very busy with many other things. But I want to take the time to do this workshop there because they have been very kind to us. I've been on a radio show that's connected with them. I've done some other stuff, and they're selling some of our products. It's just great. It's a good relationship. And I think it's a great store. If you haven't been in that store, you're going to be amazed. You've never seen a health food store like this. Now, I'm going to be in a part of the store which kind of is in the back area. Somewhere between 50 and 100 people, I don't know exactly the number, can sit back there. So if you can come, do, and hopefully there won't be more people than there are chairs. But if that does happen, we'll figure out a way to solve the problem. There's solutions I've heard. But whatever, please show up. And if you're going to be anywhere in Phoenix, in the Phoenix area, or maybe anywhere in the state if you want to drive into Phoenix, come, because this is the opportunity to come for free and meet me and meet other people. I think meeting other people is probably the most important part of it, but that are interested in this subject, natural health. So please come. Again, Saturday, April 23rd, 1:30 p.m., Healthy Habit Health Foods. Be about an hour and a half to 2 hour workshop. Come by, 6029 7th Street, Phoenix, Arizona. Okay, and then I want to mention that this Monday, this coming Monday, let me see. Yes, I think it is this Monday. Let me get the information for that. It's in here somewhere. I will find it, maybe. Here it is. It's underneath the sheet here. This Monday, over at Barnes and Noble at Tempe Marketplace, that's April 18th, Mimi is going to be speaking about spiritual love. Spiritual love. At Barnes and Noble at Tempe Marketplace, McClintock and Loop 202. Again, it's open to the public and there's no charge. Time is 7 to 8:30 p.m., an hour and a half, this Monday. And if you're aware that she used to talk at Borders, But unfortunately, Borders is having financial trouble. Many of you know this. And they've closed about two-thirds or more of their stores, maybe three-fourths, and a lot of them in Arizona. So we've switched over to Barnes & Noble, who seem to be also welcoming us to use their facility to give talks on and have people come and find out more about what we're talking about and also shop for books, of course. They're in the business of selling books, you know that. Okay, and the last thing I wanted to mention is that if you haven't tried it, you should try Fai-Chi Jizik. And you can get Fai-Chi Jizik, which is a general analgesic, but it is all natural, 61 herbs and 2 nutraceuticals, natural stuff. And it works great for most people. 602-431-5762 if you want to call to find out more or order it. And you can also get it at buyjizik.com, or you can go over to Healthy Habit, Health Foods, because they've got it too if you're in the Phoenix area. Buyjizik.com. Okay, let's get back to talking about our show tonight and what really went on after the great debacles that I just described to you. So things really went down the tubes. We have had a few interferences from no good nicks, I'll call them that. And things are getting really bad about 11,000, 12,000 years ago. And the plan was finally hatched. Actually, it was about 13,000 when the plan was hatched to just get rid of the remainder of the Atlantean seventh subrace folks through natural catastrophes mostly. Unfortunately, some of these no good nick alien visitors also showed up during that time, and they had to be driven off. And then they showed up again about 6,000 or 7,000 years later, and they had to be driven off. So, I mean, it isn't an easy thing, because evil invites this sort of stuff to happen. For the most part, though, we haven't had, most of our troubles are self-created, believe me. They aren't caused by aliens. They are caused by us. All right, we need to take more responsibility for that instead of just running around saying, aliens are doing it to us, it's not our fault. Well, you know, they may create some responsibility, but mostly it is our responsibility. So the plan was hatched to do this thing. Mysticism became a major part of the operation. Most of the things that I teach about that are demystified were mystified at that time. And so you couldn't really learn about them the way I teach them. You can only get an understanding of them through your astral body and your creative imagination. That's not too effective in really learning about and understanding how the universe works, but they didn't want any more knowledge about the universe because, after all, the next thing, who knows, would have been atomic weapons and whatever else used by humanity. That would be crazy, right? Because actually the Atlanteans got pretty far along in some of their technology. Not too atomic weapons, but they had some other terrible kinds of ways of killing people. So the desire was to get rid of knowledge for a while anyway, so that this sort of thing could not just keep going on. The process was also given in a plan to spiritually discipline people who weren't doing the wrong kind of teaching to others. And they were mostly doers. They went out and actually, in their service, hid almost all elements of Atlantean society. And then the planet itself helped out, so to speak, the beings that control the planet. And the oceans rose because ice ages melted and raised ocean levels, hiding dozens, if not hundreds, of cities and places that were Atlantean in nature. And covering up and getting rid of most of the Atlantean artifacts, Atlantis itself, many people say, well, why can't we find it? Well, the major last city of Atlantis was called Poseidonis. And that city just went below the crust of the Earth. It just literally fell into the mantle of the Earth. So we're not going to be able to find that city. But we may find some elements of Atlantean society in a number of other places. They had a lot of colonies and a lot of other cities, some of which are above the crust level, but they're way below ocean level. as much as thousands of feet, so it's not going to be that easy to find. And people talk about the Bimini Road, you know, in the Bahamas. Yeah, that's an area where some Atlanteans, or at least their colonists, lived. And we're going to find artifacts eventually related to Atlantis there, but we also found roads and things. Some people claim, oh, no, it's just natural formations, but that isn't true of what's been found in the Mediterranean in the last 10 years. So, and in other parts of the world. So there's more and more evidence mounting for what I'm explaining to you. And there's also evidence that these societies were so far advanced from who we are and what we are or have been in the last few thousand years, they're way more advanced than us back then, back thousands of years ago, that not more advanced than we are today, though. And they obviously, you can't explain this unless you add in the factors of spiritual intervention and the visiting of alien cultures. That's about the best way to describe what took place. I mean, sure, you could try to invent some other things about it, but that one seems to fit real well, particularly since there's pictures of aliens that were drawn by people in many different areas of the world from times when people weren't supposed to even be drawing anything at like 50,000 years ago or 70,000 years ago. I mean, who were the people doing that? You know? And those pictures, and even 120,000, I think, is the earliest I heard recently. And these pictures look like people who are aliens, you know. Some of them are even in spacesuits of some sort. Well, whether you really want to call those spacesuits or not, I don't know. But the point is that did they have and did they create technology to live in the physical world? They may not have flown here in that technology from other star systems. It would be pretty hard to do that, by the way, because the laws of physics in the physical world somewhat prevent that from being possible. But you can go into other dimensions, come here, and then physically build things here. And there's more evidence that they actually built these things here. That's the important part. And they actually developed technologies along with the indigenous people, us, who may not have known what they were doing exactly, but may have helped them nonetheless, to develop all kinds of things that today we would say were either spaceships or at least flying ships or and also some pretty extreme kinds of weapons, including lasers and beyond lasers. So we can definitely say that there's evidence, and it's not like difficult to find this evidence, and it's generally dispersed throughout the world. When there was supposedly no communication between peoples of the world, if there were very many peoples to be communicating with, by our understanding, but our understanding is wrong. There were millions and millions of Atlanteans, way over 100 million. So, in terms of population, our current populations, which we think are only indicative of the last 150, 200 years, and especially the last 100, were similar. There were similar levels of populations, but that was a long time ago. And yes, there's no evidence of them because they were deliberately hidden, in part, so that we wouldn't reinstitute this same thing all over again. And some of it was hidden by the natural consequences of terrible disasters that were done through spiritual means, through God, God's thought, not because it was just happen chance. Okay. Now, let's talk about visitors of contemporary times, because I know that, you know, if I don't bring this subject up, someone's going to call me for sure, and I'll get a lot of emails. So we better talk about this, because I think this is, most people say, oh, well, that's all wonderful and fine. You can tell us anything you want about the past, but what's going on right now? Okay, well, in the present sense, the visitors that come to Earth today are benevolent. Now, there aren't these terrible, dark ones that are coming today because there is a tremendous marshaling of the attempt to save Earth because Earth is in a bad way and we could go. But you should be aware of this, that Earth is also very dark right now. It's not as dark as it was maybe 1,500 years ago, but it's pretty darn dark. And the darkness is the kind of evil that we're really worried about and here to fight. And it's trying to take over, creating terrible, tyrannical governments and terrible forms of great, terrible injustices for everybody. And terrorism is like the name of the game, right? All of this is part of evil's plan. And if they can get the right proportion, and that number is maybe 1 out of 10, I don't know the exact number, of people to become evil. That's a huge number compared to where we are right now. That would be like 700 million people evil. When right now in the world there might be 30, 40 million people who are actually evil. So it's a scary thing. But if we could get into those numbers, which could happen in just a generation, it's possible. Now, I'm not talking about people who do bad things. I'm not talking about people who are selfish. I'm talking about people who are seeking to destroy God by destroying life. Okay? And so we right now we're in a bad place. We're not in a good place at all. But if things got a lot worse, maybe 10 or 20 times worse, and it could get a lot worse real quickly, I'm saying in a generation, maybe it could be in the next 10 or 20 years, it could be a lot more quickly than we would want to admit, then it is possible, here it comes, that dark aliens could invade Earth. And we may be faced with some of the worst consequences you've ever seen in any science fiction, thrillers, or any of that stuff. Yes, it's possible. Not likely. Not in the time that we are who are here right now would probably see, but it's possible. It's more likely to happen in 100 or 200 years. But even then, not more likely than not, just more likely. So I'm concerned that what I'm saying now might be, parsed into some people saying, oh, this guy, Niles McFlowers, on the air, and he's saying that these people are going to come and the bad people are going to come and they're going to all enslave us and kill us and whatever. No. We're going to do it to ourselves first, in my opinion. It's actually harder for the dark ones to come here before the planet itself has been virtually taken over by dark ones indigenously. And that's the more likely outcome, and that's part of the plan. There are several key leaders right now in this world that are evil. These leaders, if they are successful in doing what they want to do, we're toast. And we're not going to be toast because of outside invasion, although it's possible, I'm not going to deny that. We're going to be toast because of inside invasion. Because we let these evil leaders become dominating in such power and control, which is what they're seeking to do, that all signs of light in a, we'll say, outward sense will be vanquished. There'll still be light. It just won't be easily seen. And we won't even know what evil is anymore because it'll be the norm. We could go as bad as worse than 1 out of 10. It could be 1 out of 5. Remember, it was 1 out of 4 at the end of the Atlantean period. Now, if we were to go to the absolute worst levels possible and everything really just goes wrong, we could have an invasion. And that invasion would probably destroy the planet in the long run. And the only way we could resist the invasion is by sacrificing our existence as a last resort to prevent the world from going dark. I know that sounds crazy, but that would be the very, 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 very last thing that would likely be to happen. Now, outside forces could come in and destroy the planet as well on the same basis. But I think that it would go the way I just said, if it goes that way at all, and I'm not expecting that. I'm hoping otherwise, and I'm working very much in the opposite direction. And we all should be, by the way. But nonetheless, I'm giving you the facts as best as I understand them, not meaning that I am necessarily right. And let's hope about anything I'm saying that's highly, potentially toxic and negative, I would be wrong. Okay? So let's all hope that. So that no matter what happens, I would be wrong. Now, some of you are going to say, well, why don't the masters of light just stop all this and set things straight and get rid of the evil ones? And we've got all these terrible leaders that are doing terrible things. And people, why don't we just get rid of this? And the answer is that interference, even for the sake of physical survival, and even for the sake of the plan for Earth, and even for the sake of all the good people that exist on Earth, for all those sakes, it is still best to do most of the time nothing or very little. Now, why is that? Where did that come from? Well, actually, that came from the alien visitors. That was their original explanation of how to deal with Earth. But because so many, for so long, ignored that message, we got to where we are. So I realize it's tempting to want to think that, well, they're so much more advanced than we are. They're so much more conscious. If this guy on the radio is really right, why don't they do something? Because that's the cancer that's killing us now. In order to stop it, they can't interfere. It will only, in the long run, make things much worse. A lesson from our past and from those who are more advanced than us. Now you could say, well, how are they keeping up the dark ones from coming in? You said these, you know, masters of light are still sheltering us, and God itself and all other spiritual beings that work with God are doing the best that can be done. Yes, they are. Even the energy beings called angels or solar angels are doing great work. But they're all trying to keep evil out. But how do they do it? Well, there's several methods. A couple I'm not going to talk about, but I'll tell you some of the general things. The general things are that in order to keep evil at bay, even when it's being invited in, you first threaten it with exposure. Now you could say, well, how do you threaten evil? It's not going to be frightened by anything. No, that's not true. There has to be those special souls that are here now who are willing to give up anything and everything, including their existence, their lives, to expose evil. And their job is to do that regardless of the outcome, regardless of even their own destruction. And the reason for that is that they are working in concert with these great beings. And you could say, well, how are they doing that? Well, they may even have direct contact sometimes. And if they don't, then they at least understand the plan and they realize it from their own perspective. So they do this sort of stuff, and they are like part of the wall to protect us. And they work in concert with the great beings who are doing magical kinds of things that are more, we'll say, are less revealed and more hidden. These magical kinds of things sometimes are very strange series of events, and I'm not going to describe them too clearly because I don't want to give away certain things, that connect together, and when connected together, make a big impact on evil. But any of the individual acts you would never be able to trace to any particular exterior or special magical, whatever you want to call it, force, spiritual force, outside of the seemingly natural consequences of things. Except when you start looking more carefully, it becomes more visible. Okay, so that sort of thing is going on. And some of the more advanced spiritual people on Earth are attempting to work within this plan, which to them is real, but to others may sound like nonsense, which is okay, because they don't need others to recognize anything other than what they're doing. Because they recognize that that if others aren't willing to do this, if they aren't willing to do this, then the whole thing can go really bad really quickly, because then you could have, who knows, these dark ones crashing through and destroying what is left of the Earth by enslavement, fear, torture, killing, who knows what else. And amazing destruction of life in general, by the way. Not just human life. We talk about human life a lot, but you should be aware, I'm talking about all forms of life. Tremendously could suffer in the most brutal of ways. What's another thing that they can do? Well, they actually plan together on a fairly regular basis, and they're doing some of that as I speak to you right now and getting ready to. And this is called the Spiritual Festivals. The first of the one this year is to begin in a couple days, this coming Sunday. And so during this period of time, they are most involved during the first one of these festivals with the sacrifices necessary, especially by those spiritual disciples who are willing to make the more severe sacrifices that may cost them their lives or their material possessions or whatever it's going to take to become more part of the plan that is going to prevent evil from taking over Earth, as well as other parts of the plan to help Earth to become more spiritual, more enlightened, and eventually a world that is fully enlightened, which is a terrific place, that has reached the point of sacredness. It's far from that right now. But that's the first festival, and during this festival is when all this interaction goes in about the sacrifices necessary to achieve this, especially for the next year, as far as Earth is concerned. And you can say, okay, why do they call it a festival? It sounds like a big, big, really tough problem for some people, because they're going to be giving up all this and suffering, because they realize that in so doing, they are acting as saviors of a whole planet, in the plan of that planet to defeat evil and to become eventually a sacred planet, a really good thing. And then, in addition, there's another one of these festivals at the full moon from this coming Sunday, the next full moon. And in that full moon, there's going to be a festival dealing with love and consciousness and how the world can be developed in the next year in much greater levels of love of consciousness, because if people are more conscious, they can't be fooled by evil. That takes care of the evil part, and it also brings them closer together and able to work through all the issues that are needed to make this world a more enlightened place. It's a great thing. Terrific. And finally, the last festival that is usually used by these alien visitors, but not necessarily by that many people, but still a number of spiritual people who know something about them, is to take into action for the remaining 9 months all of the things necessary to counter the imbalance in materiality and spiritual development, and to bring about a change from the things that evil uses to create more evil, which is increased and enhanced materiality, with people's desire to be selfish and possess all the material things that other people have or control, and to gain power over them. So this is the whole. That's the rest of the year is taken up with about 5 days. Each festival takes about 5 days of planning. It starts really about tonight, tomorrow, and it goes. It focuses in its peak on Sunday, and it goes for a couple more days. And if you want to achieve something that's super sacrificial and super big, you would want to effectively, by the end of the full 5 days, enact the sacrifices that you're making so that you can achieve the greatest amount of goal. And in this case, it would be, of course, about evil and trying to play a bigger part in a plan of exposing evil. Remember, the exposure of evil is more important than just the question of destroying evil. Evil destroys itself when it's exposed. It's a hard thing to understand, but it actually feeds on itself once it's exposed. So it's easier to get rid of evil through exposure than just going out and chopping off heads or something. Exposure is a really good means, and that's part of a major part of the plan. Other things that I can't mention are also part of this plan in dealing with all this, these issues of evil and keeping darkness from encroaching further on Earth in a direct form. But those things I'm not allowed to say about at this time. Okay, so I find this intriguing. I hope you're finding this interesting. So if we look for really what is the bottom line about alien visitors, at the present time, the ones that are here to be of benefit, but mostly to spiritual disciples, people I call them spiritual disciples, just really advanced spiritual people who are willing to make sacrifices for our world and do things that are really difficult to do. They are the people that are the leaders of light. They aren't necessarily leaders of countries. Some of the worst evil people presently are leaders of countries, so be aware of that. You can't look at them as leaders in a political sense. They're leaders in terms of exposing evil. And they can do this in many, many ways, through business, through education, sometimes through politics, and less that way actually than some others, and oftentimes through the truth found in certain elements of science, and sometimes in the arts, and sometimes through being excellent at communicating with others and helping others to give up some of the material side by becoming more concerned about spiritual matters. So they do all these things, and they also are some of our greatest religious leaders, but sometimes they're obscure religious people too. So it's really interesting. It's a whole vast hodgepodge of different people. They're doing something in common, and that is they're exposing the darkness, revealing evil, and they're moving us towards a more sacred world all at the same time. They don't only focus on the darkness. They also focus on the light, trying to bring a spiritual balance to life and making life much more meaningful for a vast number of other people at the same time. It's a fascinating, fascinating subject. It truly is. Okay, so then, if that's what their job is, these alien visitors, are they going to stay around for like 20, 50, 100 years, etc.? Well, part of their plan, and again, I can reveal some things about this, part of their plan is to take the, let humanity take the lead, and they have segments of their plan. They will decide in 2025, 2075, and then beyond that in different ratios of time, whether or not they're going to continue to thwart darkness and whether they will continue to work with the spiritually more discipline. I call it discipline. People who are willing to make a lot of spiritual sacrifices for others and function as souls no matter what the risk and et cetera. They will decide whether they're going to continue to work with those folks or not. Interestingly, part of the plan as it is right now is if they choose not to work with those folks won't even be staying. Their souls won't be staying on Earth. That's really bad news for Earth, though. If these souls, after, say, 2075, start leaving in mass from Earth, that would be a scary outcome. Most likely the end of the planet within the next 50 to 100 years after that time. And I know that sounds terrible and unconscionable. Why would you ever give up? Well, this is these beings, these humans who are making so many sacrifices and doing whatever they're doing, those folks could be doing better someplace else. You don't want to just throw them away on a venture that is already defeated and disheveled and falling apart. I mean, then you want to take them and put them someplace else where they can do even better good, and let Earth go into its, we'll say, death spiral, and you know it's going to fail. It's just a matter of time after that point. And so many souls will leave Earth if that were to happen, along with the alien visitors, the ones that are good. But that'll be a direct invitation, to say the least, for all the dark ones to come in. So it's only after abdication and for proper spiritual purposes and under the right circumstances being, in general, applied, good circumstances for, in God's light, that this takes place, that the planet becomes deserted and left open for the worst. Now, I'm hoping that that is not the case, believe me. Doing everything I can, and those that I work with are as well, to stop this. But you should be aware that, I mean, in the worst situation, that seems to be what could happen. Could happen as early as 2025 if things really, really, really turn bad. And, you know, there's a few folks out there, whether they know it or not, who are actually trying to make things go really, really bad fast. But most people aren't. That's a good thing. So I would stick with the 2075 as being the earliest I would see things go really topsy-turvy, but you never know. So there you go. So I hope all this is kind of fitting together when about everything that I've explained so far in tonight's show. They're starting to say, oh, now that's why he said what he said at the beginning of the show and all this stuff. Yeah, that's why. Because there really are good reasons for aliens to be here working within the planet or not be. And either to be working for good or not be working for good. So there really are good reasons, and I hope that this explanation tonight has made some sense. All right, so let's talk about what is happening right now in terms of aliens. And this is where I have to be really, really careful about whatever I think that I might know about this subject. Okay? So there may be big holes in the things that I'm about to tell you about. All right. So here goes. I got something like about 12 minutes left here in the show or so. So, first of all, the present situation is quite bad. The third ray is going out of focus, producing a lot of pressure on the side of light. Many people who have been workers of light have been, in the last couple few years, have been severely devastated. And they may continue to be for the next year or more. And it's been terrible, terrible things going on throughout the world. Some people believe, oh, well, it's a good thing there's all these revolutions happening in the Middle East. Unfortunately, the people that are seemingly in control of those revolutions are the really bad people. People like revolutionary communists and socialists and people who are power mongers and wanting to control the world. It's not a good thing. Not a good thing. And so that sort of stuff is not... It doesn't look like it's going to turn out as good as we would hope it to be, because I certainly want people to be free, and I want people to exercise their freedom in ways that helps others to be free. But the people that are right now seem to be focused on freedom aren't exercising it for the purpose of trying to help others to be free. It's for the sake of them becoming powerful themselves, and that's a frightening thing. We're also about to enter another severe recession because of energy crisis, which is being manipulated behind the scenes and being somewhat an off-spin of some of these social events going on in the Middle East and elsewhere. The leaders of our country here in the United States are fighting with each other. And here in the balance is the question of whether or not we want someone to run our country as a near dictator, or we want it to be a free place where government is extremely limited as it was defined by the founders of our country and is written in the Constitution of the United States. There's a lot to be said about that question. But I will tell you that whatever happens here in the United States will have a tremendous ripple effect throughout the world. And that effect could push this whole plenum that I described to go one way or the other. And so and the next year or two is certainly going to be the telling consequence of this. I would say literally the next year and a half. Yeah, 2012 is going to be the big year. I know that that's all the rage in people who are interested in, we'll say, those New Agey ideas. But it's also true in terms of the spiritual side of metaphysics and in the part of metaphysics that I tend to teach, which is ageless wisdom, which fits most religious viewpoints, actually. Not all, but most. So it's an interesting point. It's an interesting thought. Are we going to be able to make it through? Well, the alien visitors here now, or soon to be here, like in the next year or two, have a very specific plan. I can tell you very little about it except the following. Within this plan, they will let humanity suffer the most for its own consequences, and they're in certain ways accelerating karma and accelerating the effects of the more hostile gestures by humanity. The reason for this is so that the evil can be more quickly seen than if you were to do it more slowly and allow 5 or 10 years for it to come out. So we may all suffer the consequences of that, but for a beneficial outcome. Some people may give up their belief in God because of that, because things could get real bad in some quarters. But it's mostly going to be, and they want it to be, by the hands of humans, that humans suffer rather than natural events, which is what a lot of people think are going to happen. We've had some natural events, but you notice, like what happened in Japan, and I'll bring this up from last month, most of the deaths and most of the consequences and the dire situations that are developed, such as the level 7 now and the 2 reactors, those things are the results of human hands and not the results because they had a 9.0 earthquake, which they have every 300 years like clockwork. It's because humans were selfish and greedy and built those reactors to only an 8.2 Richter scale survivability, when they should have been built to a 9.5. You see what I'm saying? I hope. So the consequences that are being paid there would have been minimal. If the plants are built to 9.5, they would have said, well, we lost a few people and we had some terrible things happen, but basically things aren't too bad. But since they built it to an 8.2 because it saves them 50% or more of the money to build them, and they wanted to get it done quick and down and dirty and cheap, probably. Well, the results now are not so good. And talk about stupid. Talk about low consciousness. Why in the heck would you build something where you're just waiting day by day for the next 9-0 to come by? And there were already strong theories to support that, but they didn't have the exact knowledge until after the plants were actually built, but it's still close enough in time they could have gone in and retrofitted them or done something. And allow that to continue, unless you just don't care about human life, and you're really dark. Yeah, I know. And, of course, it happened right now because of the third ray going out, and the planet's going to be, there's going to be more earthquakes, there's going to be more tsunamis, and there's going to be other things that are terrible going on. But still, it's by the hand of humans that we will suffer the greatest. And it's the hand of human and the revealing of this hand, and it's still not been fully revealed as far as the Japanese power plants are concerned, that evil will become exposed quickly. So that's part of the plan from our alien visitors and God itself in wanting to, we'll say, accelerate things so that we wake up faster. Not to punish us. No, this isn't a punishment. it is karmic, and eventually we would pay for it anyway. It's just being pushed a little forward. And you could say, well, how did they do that? Well, they're advanced beings. They can do that sort of thing. I mean, if you have a kind of the ear of God, you can probably do anything you want, right? If there's good reason for it. Well, anything you want has to still be within God's plan. God won't let us, or any being, take away freedom from others' thought and take away other things like that. That's if they're good. Now, if you're evil, you'll always try to do that, but you're not working for God and you're working against God. But then you'll suffer the consequences from that as well. Okay, what else? Oh, boy, I don't have much more time here. The other part of the plan that I can reveal at this point is that our present day, right now, alien visitors, of which there are very few, I don't want you to think they're on every street corner, you know, handing out leaflets and saying, join the UFO club or something. Their other plan is to allow certain individuals to be able to do some things a little earlier than they might have been able to do on their own. This is a real strange concept, and I have to be careful about how I explain this. These people have created enough good in their life, and they're wise enough that they're being given certain visions and able to do certain things. They may bring about a improvement for those who are conscious enough to see these very advanced visions that they have. It throws a lifeline to the most conscious people on the planet to find a way to protect themselves and a way out from what could be gruesome coming times. And it allows these non-leaders, they're not in a leadership position, to be able to disseminate information to others in the next year or two or three in ways that will be accepted more readily, because they have invented something or come up with something that is more unique and more capable. And it's a real lifeline for those of the most conscious types, but who yet do not have super consciousness and cannot find a way out of the mess that's going on around them. It gives them hope, and it also helps them to find various ways to survive in this relatively dark and going a bit darker world where things are being accelerated or allowed to accelerate a little faster, which will threaten a number of people in a number of ways, including their very life. So that's enough for right now, because really, if I go any deeper into the subject, I could get myself in trouble. And then the other thing is that we're out of time. Yeah, that little problem about time. Now, we did start the program a little late, about 4 minutes and 20 seconds or so late. So I'm going to go just a little bit longer. I'm just going to mention to you that if you would like to participate some in this plan I'm talking about, in some elements of it, of which I haven't really explained very much, especially at the present moment, contact us being a group of spiritual people that I work with. And there may be things that you could be of great assistance in. We can use some help right now in some things we're doing. And if you're willing to, and your heart's in the right place, and your mind's in the right place, and your consciousness is there, and you're willing to make some sacrifices as well, you can be of some help. So I encourage you to contact us. You know how to get a hold of us. You can call us at 800-777-7650. That's a direct phone line you can get us, or agelesswisdom.com. You can go to that website and find out how to contact us, or niles@whylifeis.com, or thoughts, if you just have some thoughts about the subject, @whylifeis.com. Either one of those are available. Well, until next week, I hope this program hasn't been too scary, and I hope it has opened your eyes. Until next week, this has been Niles McFlower for Why Life Is.